Many years ago, I looked out the window of my bedroom to see a tree lying across our front lawn. I was probably 8 or 9 at the time, and an uncommonly strong storm had settled in, and we were stuck inside the house. While it wasn't completely unheard of to have a thunderstorm roll in, this particular summer storm came complete with 50 to 60 mile per hour gusts, which was fast for Albuquerque. The power had gone out already, and I was bored looking for something to pass the time that didn't require electricity. So, out of curiosity, and because I'm a little bit of a geek, and maybe admittedly just a bit curious about things that could potentially be dangerous, I looked out my bedroom window to observe our front lawn and observe the storm. That's when I noticed that the 50-foot-tall cottonwood tree that had been standing feet from our house was now on its side, straddling the lawn and the front walkway. Maybe it had been disguised by the sound of the wind, I thought, but I was a little unnerved that I didn't hear such a large tree snap off at its base or even the thump as it hit the ground. I yelled to my parents that there was a tree in our front yard, to which my mom replied, "Yes, there are 3. They didn't yet understand the power the wind had that day, that it could almost silently take such a large tree, snap it in two, and lay it on its side. And that it could do that mere feet from our house without any of us noticing. And the luck that we had, that the tree didn't fall 5 feet the other way, leaving a tree-shaped hole in our house. I had never taken the wind so seriously before that day. Never realized wind should make me more nervous than it did. It also makes me think that we Lutherans often don't take the Holy Spirit as seriously as we should. That maybe we should be a little more nervous about the power of the Spirit than we typically are. At least if we take this text from Acts seriously. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The Spirit enters in not as a breeze or even as a short gust. It is a rush of violent wind, the text says. It comes in as if a strong storm has suddenly rolled in out of nowhere, bringing with it a wind that could tear out a very large tree and throw it across your lawn, blow the shingles off the roof of your house, or maybe even lift that roof right up off the rest of the building. It's a rush of violent wind that threatens to bring the power lines down and destroy buildings around you. It's as if a tornado, a hurricane, or a derecho has come, bringing with it uncertainty and great potential for disaster. Wind that goes where it pleases and moves how it wants. And when it's on the warpath, moving from here to there, it's likely to uproot the world you have worked so hard to build. Something I think we know a bit more about when an unseen virus has upended our lives and the world around us. Maybe wind should make us nervous, especially strong wind. And if this is how the Spirit enters, perhaps it too should make us nervous. Nervous about the power that the Spirit has to turn the world upside down and to potentially destroy what we've worked hard to construct. This is a loud, roaring, violent spirit ready to shake things up. And it is that kind of spirit that is constantly at work through the early church, as we've been hearing these past few weeks, reading through parts of Acts and Galatians. Spirit that gifted those who were present on that first day of Pentecost, both with the ability to speak with each other and speak the word of God, but also with a new reality that would cause all sorts of trouble in their lives. Not long after Acts 2, Peter and John get arrested after the Spirit prompts them to tell others Jesus was resurrected, a truth the religious leaders didn't like too much. Because of the Spirit, the apostles are dragged before the council time and time again and placed in prison for teaching about God. The Spirit moves and breathes within Paul later on in Acts, something that leads him away from persecuting those with the Spirit and into being one of the ones persecuted by the empire. And sometimes boldly living into the gift of the Spirit leads to a disciple's death, like it did for Stephen. Perhaps we should be more nervous about letting the Holy Spirit breathe new life into our beings, instilling a little bit of God in us that compels us to speak and act in ways that shine God's light into the shadows of the world. But unlike a tornado, a hurricane, or a derecho, the violent rush of wind on that first Pentecost was the start of a great upheaval, destroying what was in favor of what could be. The Spirit is violent only in destroying the forces that defy God in favor of building up the kingdom of God. That first Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit, was a rush that continued God's promise to destroy death's power and instead create new life out of death. A promise that continues to be made true now. Not just after we die. A promise made true even in the very real reality of our increasingly post-COVID world, where we need to discern what was not healthy about our previous lives and let it wither away while we endeavor to preserve those things we discovered again that gave us life. The small storm of my childhood only brought down our tree, but I've been in stronger storms since and have done a whole lot of recovery work in the wake of others. As painful and upsetting as it is to see the empty lots that once were homes that housed and bred life in families, the community that forms in the wake of a disaster is a reminder that life grows even in the ashes of death and grief. And that community is the vehicle through which everything gets built again. Much like the community that was built on that first day of Pentecost, brought together in God's open gift of the Spirit, a gift that was wider than even before, ever before. A gift that allowed them to come together to be children of God together, heirs, literally becoming the Spirit incarnated and blowing through the world, a force for creating God's kingdom, rebuilding the broken parts of the world. Much like the community that has been formed over the past 15 months, as God has continued to move and breathe in our midst, God has been present in our fear, our pain, our grief, and our trauma. And now God is present in our exhaustion, uniting us together despite our physical separation. The winds of the Spirit have been blowing, and they still are, sweeping us up and uniting us as children of God. This is who you are, a community gifted by the Holy Spirit to bear God's word to the world. You are a part of a community that is and will be the vehicle through which the kingdom of God continues to be built. a community that speaks words of love, peace, and justice in a world that screams retribution, fear, and control. A community that chooses the good of our neighbors over individual comfort. A community that rallies around those the world otherwise ignores, those on the margins, and those typically left without a voice. A community that chooses to foster the growth of God implanted into you, to let God live and breathe, to grow and to give birth to what is good in your life and the world around you. A community that comes to the table together, no matter how different we might be, and invites others in. This is who you are. It's who we are. We're people of Pentecost. And it's time to take the Spirit seriously, because it is through this Spirit and through the Spirit in us that God is changing the world. At this point in the service, we are going to take time